And good day to you, Brevard County. You know what? If they don't have a word, I'll make one up just so that it fits my story. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So welcome to WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. Today's April the 30th. Oh, it's the last day of the first third of the year. I don't know about you, but I'll be glad when we are moving on and moving forward again. And so thank you for tuning in today. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. Tomorrow enters one of my favorite months of the year. And it's because lots of great people entered the world in May. And my wife is one, an aunt is one, grandson is one, and I am one. And so I had a pastor that I knew. He did not celebrate his birthday. He did not celebrate his birth week. He celebrated his birth month, and that is only superseded by my daughter. Her birthday's already passed, but she begins celebrating. We had to put a time limit on her. She started celebrating her birthday 4 months in advance, and so we had to say, you know what, you can't start planning and celebrating your birthday until after Christmas and New Year. So anyway. I wanted to tell you, I was trying to attribute a quote to Hezekiah yesterday, and I found out why I couldn't find the quote in that short of time, and it was because it wasn't Hezekiah. The point was the same. It was just the wrong contributor. And so I want to take you back to Psalm 88. And the psalmist there, which is the sons of Korah. And in verse number 9, it says, Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. Will you work wonders for the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you? Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? And the point is that the psalmist was writing, as I need a miracle in my life, there are things that I do in the land of the living that the dead do not do. And so I pray today that you and I, that we will be walking the paths of life that Jesus has given to us, that he will remove from our soul, deliver our soul from sorrow, from death and destruction, from deceit, and all of those other things. We need to be living representatives. The Bible talks about us as living epistles. And so you and I, we need to make sure that we get out there and live the gospel for all to see, because there are things that God wants to do amongst us that people need to experience for themselves. So I'm going to take you today to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And we're going to go through this proverb in its entirety. I'm going to read all 22 verses. But I may not touch on every verse, but I want to go through this to show you the importance of wisdom in your life and my life, that wisdom is one of the processes that God uses to deliver us from evil. Okay? I was at a meeting a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago, and there was a person that was invited up, and he spoke to this gathering of pastors, and I think he was receiving an award. And he said, I've always been fascinated when reading the Bible to question, how did God do that? Not if God did that. He said, I accepted that right away. But if he did it, there was a process that he used to accomplish that miracle. And this guy was working on some theoretical things that could benefit cut off parts of the world from some of the modern, some of the parts of the world that are cut off from modern conveniences. He was working on technology that was going to impact those communities in a substantial way. So I want you to listen to Proverbs chapter 2, and then we will begin to break this down so that we can see the importance that God has placed on wisdom in the role of deliverance in our life. It is not just a deliverance once you find yourself in a problem, but it can deliver you from problems before they even arise. That's my favorite type of deliverance, is when there are nothing that goes awry, and wisdom comes through and says, we have intervened and protected the saints of God. So it begins chapter 2 of the book of Proverbs, verse number 1. It says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and those who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth, and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness, for the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it." There are two very important words at the beginning of this chapter in Proverbs. And that are these two words, "my son." And in those two words, it is described that there is relationship, that there is connection, that there's authority to speak into that person's life. And it's not random communication, it's intentional communication. This is communication that is intended with the recipient's best interest at heart. And so you and I, we need to, before we can receive this process of deliverance that God has for us, we need to treasure the relationship that we have there. Relationships by many are treated as disposable, and God treats us as covenant participants. Do you realize that in biblical times there was no social security? There was no social safety net. Whenever a father spoke to a son and trained him up in the family business, it was with the understanding that they were in this together, that right now the father was there and was doing something for the son, but along the way, there was going to be a passing of the baton, a passing of the torch, and the son would still be doing the work, and the father would be receiving some of the benefits. A priest in the Old Testament was retired at 50. That's in the rearview mirror for me. It doesn't mean, however, that everybody just got to sail off into the sunset, and they didn't have any more responsibilities. The homes in biblical times were multi-generational. There was an impact. There there were grandparents who would be helping in the rearing of the children, training the children in the way that they should go. It was a all-in type mindset. So he says, my son. Now, if you're not a son of the living God yet, a child of the living God yet, I'll just tell you, you don't have to receive this wisdom. But I will tell you that God wants all 7+ billion people to walk as a faithful son or faithful daughter of God. To as many as believe, he gave the right to become the children of God. With that relationship, he poses this word. It is the biggest two-letter word in the English language, and it is the word if. If you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. There are some actions on our part that establish the conditions that are going to provide for a response on God's part. He gives grace to the humble. So if we humble ourselves, we're going to receive grace. But he opposes the proud. If we do not humble ourselves, if we do not seek his face, we're going to find God opposing us at every turn. That's not a place that we want to be. Here, the if is, if you receive my words. There is no question by Solomon here as he writes these words that the words that he's getting ready to impart under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that they are words of wisdom, but it has to do with whether or not the son is going to receive the teaching or reject the teaching. Everybody gets to make up their own mind. And so I remember a time in American politics where there were people who were rising up and they were saying, we don't want some of these people who are running for office. We don't want them in office because they're going to try and legislate morality. They're going to try and cram their religion down our throats. And I want you to know that is not the plan that God has. It is never relationship with God is, when it comes to human being, is not something that he compels upon us. It is something that we must choose. It is something that we must choose. And those same people who did not want morality legislated to them are now, many of them are the same people who are trying to legislate immorality to be accepted by everyone else. Without choice, it is supposed to be compulsory. So I've got a friend, he heard this statement from someone else who probably heard it from someone else, and so I'm much down the chain of command. I have no idea who the person that originally said this is, but they made this statement, and that is this: where there is much law, there is little love, and where there is much love, there doesn't need to be much law. And one of the reasons that we find that here in America, we've got to pass new laws every year. I mean, why? It's because we have gotten so far away from the path of love that Jesus has laid out for us as an option in the Word of God. It is the best path. It's not always the easiest path, but it is the best path. And because we have gotten so far away from that, we have now tried to legislate as a society what can be done, what can't be done, not realizing that all authority, true authority, is given by God, but not every authority that we see in our society now is authority that is based upon God, but much of it is based upon the rejection of God. So you have to ask, you know, in fact, the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, by what authority do you do these things? And he said, well, I'll answer your question if you answer one of mine. Said, you know, the baptism of John, was it of God or was it of men? And they said, you know, we can't answer that question in a way that it's not going to make us look bad. So we don't know. And he said, then I'm not going to tell you by what authority. He never said he didn't have the authority. He just said he wasn't going to acknowledge the authority. Any authority that is based upon rejecting God is not going to be long-term, easily sustained authority. There will come a day of reckoning for that. We have got to receive the word of God. I can get up and I can preach a message. And I'm going to go back to the good old days when there could be people in the sanctuary and a person sitting in one seat might have their arms folded and say, man, I'm not getting anything out of this message. And then another person sitting right next to them hearing the exact same words saying, man, that is the most life-changing message I've ever heard in my life. It has to do with whether or not we position ourselves to receive the word or if we position ourselves to reject the word. So I like when the people hung on Jesus' every word. They were sitting on the edge of their seats, if you will, waiting for the next word that he had to say. Samuel did not let a word that God spoke fall to the ground. I was reading recently in the book of 2 Kings, and it talked about Jehu, who was up until, I read this, the most memorable thing about Jehu that I had remembered was that people knew who Jehu was because of the way he drove his chariot. He drove it furiously. And yet when I read the story of Jehu, I found that he remembered things that God had spoken while Jehu was serving under the authority of Ahab. He remembered some of the prophecies that had been written. And it said that Jehu did not ignore any of the words that God spoke during that time, but he didn't remove the idols. And so if you're looking for kings that served well in Israel, you've got to look really, really hard. Jehu is going to be up there near the top because of his attitude that he had towards God. Still, doesn't rise up to the level of godliness that God wanted in a king, but he did prolong his dynasty, I believe, to the fourth generation because of his attitude towards God and to his word. We need to receive the word of God. I remember a person that they worked in a store right next to mine, and they would get so livid about the word of God that had been preached. And this person said, I just want to stand up and say, no, that's not true. Well, I knew the church that they were going to, that they were preaching the word of God. And so I don't know why, I can't vouch for every message that went forth, but I can tell you that when the word of truth goes forth, if we receive it, we're going to experience great blessings as a result of receiving that truth. If we reject the word of truth that goes forth, it is still the word of truth, whether we receive it or whether we reject it. He said we have to treasure our commands. We have to incline our ear to wisdom. We have to apply our heart to understanding. We have to seek for it as silver. Search for the hidden treasures of God's word. And it says when all of those things begin to take place, where there is this drive inside of us and this hunger that's inside of us, it says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Every time we open our Bible, we should come away with a greater understanding of how holy, glorious, righteous, omnipotent, and omniscient God is. We should come with a way come away with a greater understanding of how much He loves us and how much He cares for us. And the reason that He's pouring into us is because He wants the very best for us. He says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. I know that culture changes, that, you know, clothes that I wore back when I was in high school, those are long gone. Thank the Lord. There were some really, really bad fashion designs back then. I understand hairstyles change and makeup styles change and cars change and all of that. But I think we need to remember that God is a God who deserves all glory and all honor. He deserves our best. He deserves our best. And when I come into His presence, I want to remember the awe of God. I think that when we lose that sense of amazement at being in the presence of a person, when we become so familiar with them that we let down that guard, then I think many times we set ourselves up for a lower level of relationship than what was intentionally created there. I remember the first time that I asked my wife, who wasn't even my girlfriend at that point in time, I asked her to go to a church dinner. I was so nervous that I had a lollipop in my mouth, and I was using that as a crutch to sustain me. I was so nervous about asking her to this church dinner that I had to have that just to keep myself going, because I was just enamored. Little did I know that she, you know, had the same mindset as I did. And now we've been married for a long time. And we're very thankful for that. But if a person isn't careful, if they allow things to become so familiar that you take a situation for granted, it can leave just as fast as it came. And so I pray America never loses the wonder of this amazing relationship that we have with God. I don't care what historians try and do to history to rewrite it, to try and take the preeminent place that God had in those early settlers' life and in the founding of our country. Was everything done perfectly? Was everything done well? Absolutely not. There were some horrific things that were done. Good people did bad things. Bad people did bad things. But there were some wonderful things. There have been a number of revivals that have taken place that always brought America back to that place where we understood what a blessing it is to have a relationship with God. In fact, some of those early fathers said, if you take away this relationship with God, the democracy will never be able to sustain itself. We need a revival. We need people who will say, you know what? I think my Heavenly Father has something to say. I think he's been trying to speak to me. Let me rephrase that. I think he's been speaking to me, but I haven't been giving him the attention. I've not been putting forth the effort to hear what God has to say. And I think it's time that I gained some understanding of the fear of the Lord, and I went out in pursuit of the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. What you and I will find is that as we begin to seek God, we're going to find that he is going to give us that wisdom, the wisdom that I was telling you about, that will preserve us, will deliver us from evil. But he also not only allows us to accumulate wisdom and knowledge and understanding, but he will also find that those words that he has spoken to us will shield us, will guard us, will preserve us, and they will give us understanding of righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. There was a person one time that said, you know, I used to think that if a person was 100 years advanced, more advanced than another culture, that they would just be able to dominate. And that person said, I don't think it needs to be 100 years anymore. I think it's more like 10. That was probably 20 years ago, 15 years ago. And I will tell you, it really doesn't even have to be that long. If you know where a path ends up, because God's word says this is a path of destruction, that path might end for another person a very short distance. We need to be seeking the face of God and say, God, would you help me to gain understanding? My society, my culture, my community, my neighborhood, my church is banking on us having godly understanding. I pray that you will gain wisdom today. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.